It's Michael Bublé, haven't met you yet, on Cheshire's Silk 106.9. Good morning, David Hearn from Public Health England North West. How are you?
I'm well, and yourself?
Yeah, not bad at all, not bad at all. So, let's talk about coronavirus. Let's talk about some of the rules and regulations that are maybe coming into place, maybe not coming into place. There's a lot of speculation of what we could be, what could be announced later today, and some of the jokes as well. I've got to ask you about some of the, you know, the sarcasm about it as well, namely the curfew, David. I've seen it on social media, I've seen it all over the place, where the curfew is 10 p.m, possibly being announced later, 10 p.m. curfews for pubs, restaurants and hospitality venues. And some of the jokes are that COVID doesn't get you after 10 o'clock tonight. So why is there a curfew then?
So I suppose you have to go back to the fundamentals of what they're trying to do. And if you think about the way in which the virus spreads is whenever you've got large numbers of people congregating, and particularly when you've got large numbers of people congregating and alcohol involved, then usually what you get is problems with maintaining social distancing. So anything at all that adds to the restrictions of people's ability to circulate together in the community, particularly where there's alcohol involved, potentially reduces the transmission. So what they're doing there is trying to limit the amount of time that people can be in those sort of environments. Yes, they've got all the additional COVID-safe requirements in place, but I think from the places that I and family and friends have been into, I think we all know it's a bit of a mixed bag in terms of what you see there. So I think this is just a further way of providing some consistent approach that limits the amount of time that people are able to be in those spaces, and particularly under the influence.
Does this mean the rule of six doesn't apply anymore? It's going to be scrapped later, do you think?
No, I think the rule of six is probably, I think when we saw that last week, I think most of us thought that's a very sensible move. It gives people something quite consistent and clear as a message. We're walking a tightrope, you know. I think there's a fine balance between shutting the whole of society down and making it very difficult for people to see other members of the family or see friends and get that close social support, against being able to control the virus. And it's a tricky balance to achieve, you know, and at times it lurches one way or the other. So I think you can see that over the lockdown period it went very strictly onto control, and over the more recent periods we've been trying to get much more of the economy open and people that social support. And I think what we're likely to see over the course of the winter is something where we kind of tread either side of that line.
Well, see, I was offered a flu jab, you know, the other day by my doctor's surgery. And I want to get on to the weight issue with this coronavirus, because it was quite scary when Boris Johnson said during the early part of the summer, yeah, you need to get your weight down. You're at more risk of suffering major problems with coronavirus if you're carrying a bit of weight. I'm carrying a bit of weight. I do go to the gym. And my biggest problem is that if they close the gyms, which I don't know, that's not been rumoured yet at all, but in the back of my head, in my mind, if they close the gym, that ruins me for losing a bit of weight, because I ain't running in public. No way.
Yeah, I can well imagine that a number of people are worried about the potential for that to happen. You know, we waited a long time for the gyms to reopen. You know, I missed my swimming. And then they got them open, and obviously, I think, certainly having been...
The line.
Oh, hello. Have we lost David? I think we've lost David. We will try...
Please hold the line.
Shall I hold the line? Or shall I tell you what? We'll play some tunes in a bit. And then we'll give David a call back to
Please
continue.
Hold the line.
No, I won't hold the line. We'll play you some songs anyway. 11:20. We'll get David back on the phone very, very soon. Silk Date. Stodgy, good enough on Cheshire's Silk 106.9. We have him back. David, how are you? You all right?
I'm fine. Obviously, that was an apt one for the phone line.
It was. So we left it on gyms anyway, and I think we've established that they're not likely to close gyms anytime soon because they help you to lose weight and they are healthy for us. But again, we don't know what he's about to say later. Anything could come out of those lips of the boss men, really, couldn't it?
It could. I think you could probably take your cues from a lot of the new restrictions that are in place across the northwest. So I think there's a general feeling that what we're trying to do now is move to a position where the restrictions are consistent within the northwest, but also consistent nationally, so that it's easier for people to understand what they can and can't do.
Are we allowed to call it a second wave? Because they've been very clever with the language. Now, for me and my family, we are classing it as a second wave. Is it officially... Are we in a second wave now? Is it the start of a second wave? What is this bit that we're in at the moment?
So I suppose, to put it bluntly, it is what it is. The kind of concept of the two peaks in a year, that's very much based on the understanding of how flu pandemics work, which is that you usually get a peak in the spring and a peak in the autumn. And that's because of the way in which the flu virus operates. And it tends to have very low levels of transmission in the summer. COVID hasn't. So I think the concept of the second peak is probably a bit of a false proposition in this one. So as soon as you've taken the restrictions off post-lockdown, you've seen that the rates of transmission have started to climb again. Well, that wouldn't be flu. It's unlikely that it would transmit in the same way. So I think what it's telling us is, irrespective of when it is in the year, if people don't think carefully about those measures which control the transmission, then it'll be out. It'll be out, it'll be passing quickly, and it will get into all parts of the population, which is what we're seeing now.
What we've been saying on the breakfast show here at Silk 106.9 is, very bluntly, act like you've got it and act like everybody else has got it. So just stay away from most people, if you can.
I think that's probably not a bad rule of thumb. I think people have tended to think that it's not a particularly dangerous condition to get. You know, it only affects the very elderly. But I think the further through the pandemic we've got, the more we understand that actually it's got quite serious long-term health impacts for people of all ages. And there are large numbers of people in the sort of 20 to 60 bracket who've got what they call long COVID, which seems to have quite a wide range of impacts across a range of body systems. So it is not just a simple case of get flu and get over it. It's potentially far more serious.
And I think there's a bunch of people that probably don't know they have an underlying health problem until something flags up or something happens to them. So if they get it and they don't know they've got something else as well underneath that, then that is real bad news, isn't it, I suppose?
Yeah, and that's an interesting one, because there's also now, because we're hitting that part of the year where it becomes more of an issue, there's growing evidence that if you get flu on top of COVID, then it is even more serious. So it's the way in which COVID plays out with a number of these underlying conditions like diabetes, being overweight, or having any sort of respiratory conditions that potentially means that it's a very significant risk for somebody in those sort of categories.
Let's move on to Stoptober, if you don't mind, David, very quickly then. Stoptober is happening in a few weeks' time next month, obviously October, and it's aimed at the smokers, is that right?
It is, because for exactly what we've just been saying. We know that people who are smokers who get COVID have poorer outcomes, and we know that Conversely, a large number of people, I think, have heard that message and used it, particularly through lockdown, as a great opportunity to quit. So we know that there have been 2 million quit attempts in England in 2020. So that's a huge number of people who are out there trying to give up smoking. And the focus this year is going to have two very clear audiences. So there's going to be, part of the campaign will be focusing on people in that kind of middle age, 35 to 60. And there'll be something that's very specifically targeting a younger audience of sort of 18 to 35. And obviously, every person who quits, they get the benefits of being an ex-smoker. And that in itself it should be a strong enough motivation, but for this year they also get the added protection of reducing their risk in terms of what COVID might do if they were to contract it.
So yeah, so Stoptober even more important because COVID is around, ghosting us really, isn't it? So
yeah, exactly. So quitting smoking is probably the single best thing you could do for your health, but this year even more so.
Where can people find more about Stoptober, David?
So literally just Google Stoptober and you will find the support materials online.
Fabulous. Thank you very much for your time. I know we've run out of time anyway. I know you've got to appear on our sister station next. And we're holding him up anyway. So, I'm sure he won't mind. But thank you very much for your time. And
always a pleasure.
Thank you.
I hope you managed to fix your wedding in the end.
Well, we did. It was a little bit funny, actually, because we were told we were allowed 30 people. But what they didn't say, when we got there a week before to sort out all the finer details of the wedding, they said, well, you can only actually have 6 in this room because it's a smaller room. So we were like, oh, okay, so we had to make the call to a load of other people going, you can't be there. So that rule of 30 that was in at the time didn't really matter, you know.
So are you still going ahead?
We've done it, actually.
You've done it? Oh, well, congratulations, then.
Yeah, we've done it. We've actually done it. We pulled it forward and we did it 2 weeks ago with 6 people. So, yeah. So there we are. Thank you very much, David. Cheers for your time.
Cheers, thank you.
Cheers, bye-bye.
Pleasure.
Thank you, bye-bye. There we go, David Hearn from Public Health England North West, talking all bits and bobs about coronavirus and also Stoptober, which is happening next month.